This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony. George Frederick Handel wrote music in almost every genre that was popular in his day, but he was, at heart, a man of the theater. Even his instrumental music is full of high drama, low humor, and unexpected twists and turns. Mozart, who loved Handel's music, once said, "Handel understands effect better than any of us. When he chooses, he strikes like a thunderbolt." Handel had spent the first part of his career in Italy, the birthplace of opera, and by the time he moved to England in 1714, he was an acknowledged master not only of that genre, but also of its cousin, the oratorio, which he would transform, almost by accident, from a kind of mass without the ceremony to opera without the staging. By the time of Handel's 47th birthday in 1732, the English public was beginning to tire of opera, and Handel was beginning to tire of the backstage politics that made every operatic production a high-stress adventure. The children of the Royal Chapel mounted a birthday production of Esther, a staged pageant that Handel had written in 1718, and it was so well received that plans were made for a series of performances at the King's Theatre. But the Bishop of London believed that the theatre was a site of sin and not a fit place for the presentation of a work based on the Bible. So Esther was presented in concert as an oratorio, and it was a huge hit. Over the next 10 years, Handel wrote 8 more oratorios, including Messiah. Handel's Messiah has been one of the Western world's most popular pieces of music for almost 2 centuries, but it took a while to get to that point. In November 1741, Handel was invited to Dublin to preside over productions of several of his operas and oratorios, and he was asked to provide a new work which would be introduced at a benefit for the relief of jailed prisoners, a hospital, and a charitable infirmary. Handel was famously generous and immediately agreed. He brought his latest score along with him, which he had composed in just 3 weeks that summer. His librettist was a young man named Charles Jennens, a well-to-do man about the arts who had an otherwise undistinguished career, but who managed to cobble together, out of a number of biblical sources, one of the most dramatic stories of the life and meaning of Christ ever written. After the open rehearsal on April 9, 1742, the Dublin Newsletter pronounced that the new oratorio, in the opinion of the best judges, far surpasses anything of that nature which has been performed in this or any other kingdom. The Dublin Journal concurred that it was allowed by the greatest judges to be the finest composition of music that was ever heard, and the sacred words as properly adapted for the occasion. The journal also advised that since the performances were likely to be well attended, ladies were requested not to wear skirts with hoops, and gentlemen were advised to leave their swords at home to increase accommodation for the many well-wishers to these notable and grand charities." End quote. The first 2 performances on April 13th and June 3rd were hugely successful, and word spread quickly to London. But even after being revised and then performed again in 1745, the London audiences were not impressed. Handel revived the work in 1749 after a few more revisions, and it finally began to catch on in London. Beginning that spring, it was presented every season at Covent Garden in benefit performances for the Foundling Hospital. After Handel's death in 1759, Messiah got larger and larger, culminating in a performance in 1791 in Westminster Abbey involving over 1,000 musicians. Handel himself revised and altered the piece numerous times, depending on the numbers and quality of musicians available to him and the tastes of the music-loving public. After his death, other composers did the same. Mozart first heard Messiah in 1777 and wrote that he was bored by it. But 12 years later, he himself rearranged it. Others have adapted the score over the centuries, but in recent years, most concert performances have tried to recreate, in some form, the sound of Handel's original. The structure, on the other hand, is open to interpretation, since Handel himself never settled on a definitive edition. As a whole, Messiah is divided into three parts, like the acts in one of Handel's operas, and 53 scenes. Part 1 tells of the prophecy of Christ's coming and the story of his birth. Part 2 relates his passion, death, and resurrection, and Act 3 tells of the promise of redemption, the day of judgment, the victory over sin, and the acclamation of Christ as Messiah.
Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto him, be unto him that sitteth upon the throne.
Handel used pretty standard musical forces in the piece, a chorus with soprano, alto, tenor, and bass soloists, and an orchestra of strings with oboes and bassoons reinforcing the choruses, and harpsichord and organ to fill out the harmony. But there are also trumpets and drums, used sparingly and effectively to heighten the drama. For instance, Hallelujah begins with solo strings. Adds full strings and winds after the voices enter.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
And holds the trumpets and drums back until the chorus sings, "The Lord God Omnipotent reigneth," for the first time. These days, we hear the Hallelujah chorus everywhere at Christmas time. It's actually part of the Easter portion of the oratorio. And the custom of standing for Hallelujah began when King George II rose at one of the first London performances of Messiah. After all, when the king stood, everyone else had to stand. But conductor Robert Shaw suggested that the king's rising was caused not by religious or musical emotion, but by his failure to realize how close the next intermission was. That's only one of the many legends that have grown up around Messiah. There have been jazz messiahs, rock messiahs, and soulful messiahs in recent years. But these days, if you're not attending an historically informed performance, you're most likely attending a sing-along messiah, an outgrowth of the big messiah tradition. The biggest of all may actually have taken place at London's Crystal Palace in 1883. It featured over 500 musicians, 4,000 singers, and an audience of over 85,000. And one of those Crystal Palace performances was the source of the very first on-location recording, an Edison cylinder cut in 1888, when it would have been hard to fit 4,500 musicians into a recording studio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah,
But however you like your Messiah, big or intimate, modern or period, authentic or interpreted, you're part of an almost 300-year tradition of what may be classical music's most beloved masterpiece. Through all its changes, Handel's Messiah has remained pure, powerful, and moving. A true classic. This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony.